Generally speaking, when we gather together on a Sunday morning, I'd like to have you pull out your Bibles and go, but today I've just got so much scripture, I'm just going to ask you to stay with me on the screen here. And if you
let's get right into it. So we're in a series, and today happens to be the last part of the series called Loving God with Your All. Loving God with Your All. And it's been a good series. I heard some positive feedback from some of you, some negative feedback in the sense that you understand now a little bit and you're like, man, I really didn't know that's what that verse meant when it says loving God with everything you have. Mark 12:30 says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And we've been talking about those these last 4 weeks. What does it mean to love him with all? How do we take that word all and love him with our all? On one hand, you can look at what Jesus said and look at it and say, you know, I wish Jesus would make up his mind. Well, what is it? Is it all your heart? Is it all your mind? Is it all your strength? Is it all your soul? What is it, Jesus? Just give me one. How can I do all four? How in the world can I take on all four? See, Jesus didn't say love God with 50% of your heart. He didn't say love God with 75% of your mind or 80% of your soul and, you know, 100% of your strength. He didn't say that. Not once. He said all of them. All of them. Sometimes it's our heart that leads our mind. Sometimes it's our mind that leads our heart. Depends on what day or what's going on in our life. And that's what Jesus said for us and how to function. That's why Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all four of these. You need all four of them to love him completely. It's like a cake. If you go to ask somebody to bake a cake, you take all the ingredients. The basic ingredients it takes to make a cake is what? Flour, sugar, water, salt, that's it, and the flour. That's what it is. It's just very simple. And so he says, love the Lord your God with all those four things. So today, we're going to look at the fourth ingredient. The strength element. And I think this is an element that confuses the church. It confuses you guys. It confuses me. Because we live so much of our day-to-day in our own what? Our own strength. Because we find something to do, and so we do it. Because it's there, and we can do it, so we take it on. And we go forward, and we do those things that are out there. And we kind of get in trouble with this. And so, basically, strength is talking about you being a doer or doing the things that you do during the day. And we do a lot, don't we? And I've said this before about our church. Our church is a particularly good church on what they do. Our music is a good example. There's a lot of people that get up and do what God has given them. They do it, some in their strength and some in God's strength. Some days maybe more one than the other. We all struggle with this thing of strength because it comes down to two things that I'm going to talk about today. It comes down to these two phrases, what he do and what we do. What he do, say that with me, what he do and what we do, okay? And we're going to talk about that today because we get so intermingled with what's our part in this and what is his part. And then the Lord says, so Jesus, love him with your all. All. Okay, so I have to take that in light of that. I have to translate it and figure out what does that mean for me here this morning, sitting in the middle of September. So we're going to find our lane again. That's what we've talked about every week. You got to find your lane and find out how does God want me to have this, to love him with my all. And so today, what I've called today, I've called it this, when weakness wins. When your weakness wins.
And that's such a weird concept for all of us in this room, because to think about weakness winning, it's like, how does weakness win? I thought it was strength. The football team that has the most strength should win. The team that has the most stamina, they should win. The person that's bigger and stronger should win. But that's not the dichotomy in God's economy. His dichotomy is the one who is weakest, he's the strongest through. And that's a baffling concept, because we don't understand that. We don't live in that. How do we find our lane in that? How do we find our spot to say, I want to love God with all my strength, but yet I don't want to be doing it. I want him to be doing it through me. How do we do that? So I think it's a couple of realizations. The first realization today is this. Realize that God can do anything through you. That God can do anything through you. Do you really believe that? That God can do anything through you? I hope so. I want to ask you then, do you live your life like he can do anything through you? Do you live your day to day like he can do anything through you? See, the Bible says and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, that we're jars of clay. And jars of clay can be easily broken. Jars of clay can fall apart. And jars of clay can have days that they're going, what in the world is going on in my life here? So we've got to realize God can do anything through you. Look at the screen. John 14:12 says this. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Every time I read that verse, I think there must have been a mistake. Every time I read that verse, I'm like, what's he mean? Jesus would say that to his believers back then, and he's saying that to his believers today, that you and I can do greater things than he did. How is that possible? How is that possible? Is there something wrong in the translation? What's going on there? We're much more positive in our own lives that God can do something through others. We look at others, oh, he can do something through them. Look what he can do through them. When it comes to me, well, you know, I can't do that. Oh, don't ask me. Don't ask me. No way can I do that. How do I know that God can do anything that he wants to do? Well, the Bible gives us a very good path, and let's blow right through that this morning as we look at that. Here's what. All the power that God have is, it is all from him. Look what Ephesians 3:16 says. It says, out of his glorious and limited resources, he will give you the mighty inner strengthening of his Holy Spirit. Who gives it? He gives you his inner workings of the Holy Spirit to do whatever it is he wants you to accomplish. It's all from him. Not only is it all from him, is my tiny pea brain cannot understand or fathom how the power that he has to give me, or how much he has to give me. Because we think about our power and what we can do. And when we look at things, we look at things through our eyes and say, whoa, how's that going to be? We have to understand that my brain doesn't understand the power that God has for me. Ephesians 3:20 says this very simply. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, that's a work within us. Even more than immeasurably. You can't measure how much he can give you. You can't even begin to take a ruler and say, this is how much he has. It's immeasurable. God is able to do the things that nobody can do. He can even overcome death. That's the power that we can all think of. The most magnificent power is a nuclear bomb. the destruction that it does. Paul says, no, the most incredible power is that he took someone who was dead and he brought him back to life. If he can do that, what can he do in your life? And lastly, how do I know this truth? Because you can't compare it to anything else. You can't compare God's power to nothing. His power is the power that is able to do far more. He said it, immeasurably more. You can't even, it's in one of the versions that he translates, it's super abundantly. He even puts that super abundantly more than I ever thought or imagined. He has that ability. So God has what it takes for us to live in his strength and not our strength. He's got enough. So there's the start. Now let's move on. Here's another truth. How do I find my lane to living, to let weakness win, to let weakness just be a part of who I am, and then let God be strong in me? It's very important. We have to realize this. He can, I can't. Or he do, I don't. Say that with me. He do, I don't. One more time. Yeah. He do, I don't. So you can take that home with you today. He do, I don't. I don't. You see, this realization that our mind, I can do anything through Christ, but the humility to realize that his power is there, but it's nothing that I do. That's a tough road to walk. It's a tough road to say that God can do everything, and then to say he doesn't want us to, he just wants us to let him do it all. How is that even possible? Look what he says in John 15, 5. And we hear this, we've talked about it till we're blue in the face. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But yet we do a lot of what? Something. And then we do a lot of something and we get in trouble because we do a lot of something and we go, oh, what did I get myself into? I got myself into a lot of something. And he just says, but apart from me, you can do nothing. But when you do it on your own strength, you screw it up. You mess it up. I can do absolutely nothing that lasts without the power of Christ. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So, here's the question. It's an important question. It's a question that you've got to get a hold of. What are you doing now in God's power, or what are you doing in your power? What are you doing in your power, or what are you doing in God's power? As you look at the things that you got going on in your life, are you doing them in your strength or his strength? The Bible says this in Colossians 1:29. Look at this. To do this, I work and I struggle using Christ's great strength that works so powerfully in me. And then Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart, what? May fail. They may fail. They will fail. Your heart lets you down. Your flesh lets you down. You have to understand that with all your strength, it means this. Paul said, I work and I struggle, but I do it using God's strength that works powerfully within me. Finding my lane. Letting weakness win means this. I've got to realize that I can't just get on the ride. It's like going to King's Island or going to, where was Yancey yesterday? And he was there riding rides. And it's like you can't just strap in and say, here we go, whee, I'm going to ride the Christian life. It's a struggle. But, you get on one of those rides at roller coaster, you're strapped in, you're going, you're gone. It's gone. You're doing what you're doing. But you can't do that with the Christian life. You can't strap in and go, whee! It's a struggle. It's a struggle. So if you're struggling today, it's okay. If you're struggling with your strength and trying to be weak, it's okay. Doesn't mean you need to live there. Doesn't mean you need to camp there. Doesn't mean you need to stay there. But it means you're okay. So that brings us to the third realization. I got to realize that my weakness becomes strength. That my weakness becomes very much strong. How's that, Jeff? See, here's the crucial part, the critical part where it all intersects. When we love God with all of our strength, here's a couple truths that you need to latch on to. And again, I can't stand up here and tell you these without showing you what says it in the Bible. So that's why there's a lot of scripture today. You got to understand that anything that I say, I have to have something that says it in the scripture. Because if it's not in the scripture, it's just words out of your mouth. Just words out of your mouth. So let's start with this today. Let's start. How do I realize my weakness becomes strength? The first one of this first truth is this: that my strength pulls me away from God's strength. Most of us in here, we're pretty darn good. We're strong. We can do lots. There's so many of you in here that are so talented and so good and so smart, and you're so capable, and you can do every freaking thing there is. But that strength pulls you away from God. It pulls you away from His strength. You see, when I feel like I'm strong, when I feel like I've got it together, who do I depend on? I depend on me. I depend on me. I don't depend on God. Because why? I got this. And I may give Him a credit. Thanks, God, for giving me muscles. Thanks, God, for giving me good intuition. Thanks, God, for letting me be able to take a motor and take it apart. Thank you, God. We may think things like that. But are we doing it in our strength or God's strength? See, when I realize I'm in need, I tend... Here's the thing. When you and I realize that when there's nothing we can throw at it and it's going to get any better, that's when this all starts, the rubber hits the road. That's when it starts to get real. Then I start depending on God. When somebody's really, really sick, how much time do you spend talking to God? How much time do you read the Bible? How much time do you say, God, you cry out, I need you, I need you, I need you. But when everything's just fine, good God, good food, let's eat. Done. Done. And that's all we do. And that's all we say. See, there's the difference. When we have a true need, we depend on God. Understand this. You and I need God every day, every minute of every day. Every minute of every day. You learn to be able to say, God, help me realize those strong parts of my life is when I need you the most. Let me say it again. God, help me realize those strong, when I come to the strong parts of my life, that's when I need you the most. I don't need you the least, and I need you the most. Because then it's easy to get kind of cocky and go, doing pretty darn good. Look how it's going for me. We got it going on here. Help me, God, to realize that I need you in every area, every second of my life. Here's another truth. Not only does my strength pull me from God's strength, my weakness pulls me towards God's strength. My weakness pulls me towards God's strength. That's so vitally important this morning. Apostle Paul talked about this in 2 Corinthians 12, and we have beat this verse to death in the church, but I'm going to beat it some more today. Listen to 2 Corinthians 12. Old Apostle Paul, he's having a bad day. He's talking to God, and here's what he says. I prayed to God, deliver me! I'm sick of whatever it is going on in his life. I hate it! Deliver me! I asked him three times, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My power becomes perfect in weakness. Ouch. Whew. Therefore, here's my plan of attack, Apostle Paul. I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, with insults, with hardships, with persecutions, with calamities. For when I am weak, I'm strong. For when I'm weak, I'm strong. What do you do with those weaknesses in your life? Because there's a bunch of them. And you try to pave over them. You know, you ever watch these paving guys today, what they used to, and I used to work on the county highway when I was in college, and I learned from a really incredible boss how to pave. And I mean, to take that pavement you take and lay it down. He said, you never pave over a bump. And that made sense to me. Because he said, if you pave over a bump, you know what happens? You get a hole. Because it rolls over. And that's what we do in our life. We're paving over so many things. We pave it over, and then the things of life come, and it just padum, 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 and it doesn't matter for a while. Padum, oh, there's a noise. Padum, there's a noise. Padum, 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 padum. Now there's a hole. You see, you can't pave over a bump. You have to dig it up. And that's something that happens through the strength of the Holy Spirit. You let him dig it up and dig it out, and you don't pave over it. What we do because of the busyness of our lives, because of the speed of our lives, we just pave over it. Look at there. That looks so pretty. Nice, pretty blacktop just for miles. Blacktop of my life. What do I do with those weaknesses? Well, I don't pave over them. Two things Paul said. It's right there. He said, I prayed, could you remove this from my life? And that's good advice. The Bible says he asked three times. I've asked thousands of times and he hasn't removed stuff. He hasn't done stuff that I wanted him to do. But I always find peace when I pray, every time. Paul says, I want to get rid of these weaknesses. And God says, no, Paul, no, no, not going to do it, not going to do it. See, if you pray about your weakness, be ready for God to say no. Be ready for God to say no. He does that because he wants to work through you. He wants to work through you, not head you. Nutball you. He wants to work through odd, weird you. He prayed, and then the Bible says he boasted. He boasted. He boasted about his weakness. Now, here's, I got to flesh this out because I don't want you to take this too far. In fact, the Bible says, he says, I boast about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. So when I boast about it, his power then does what? It shows up. It comes on me. Those two words are so incredibly important. So that. Don't pave over those. So that our weaknesses do not automatically become God's strength. Weakness wins. Weakness wins when you're weak, not when you're strong. You do not have to be strong to go through something. You do not have to be strong to go through pain. You do not have to be strong to go through death. You do not have to be strong because life is hard and you're broke and you're here today and you're a wreck. You need to be weak so that he can be strong. He boasted about his weakness so the power could be revealed in his life. I'm not saying Paul's going around going, I got a bigger weakness than you got. No. Don't be a Nimrod. My weakness is bigger than yours. Nope, nope, nope. It's not that at all. It's not that at all. It's that you realize where your weakness is, and you say, God, fill it up. Fill up the hole. Fill up the bump. So it doesn't go boom, ba-dum, ba-dum. Please, God, you do that. Boasting is not saying I got a bigger weakness. It's saying I'm talking about my relationship with God and how I want to make you centerpiece of who I am. That's it. Another truth. Another truth. It's so important. When I'm weak, listen, when I'm weak, it showcases God's strength. When you're weak, it showcases it. Ta-da! God's strength is something incredible. That's why he works the way he does, because your weakness shows God's strength because he wants to show the world where strength comes from. Now, we got to flesh this out a little bit too. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:7. It says this, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that all surpassing power is from God and not from us." Now, listen up to me, some of you doers. Some of you doers that can do everything and fix everything and take care of everything and make it better for your wife and your spouse and your kids. Listen, 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 listen. You have a treasure. It's in a jar of clay, and it's to show the surpassing power of God. That's why we put it in your clay body. Your clay body breaks. Your clay body has holes. Your clay body is very fragile. But he puts this treasure in you, the Holy Spirit, to show out of you, to show out of you who he is. He doesn't put it in you to show you how good you are so you can show other people and other people, look how cool they are. Look how good they are. Your pot is cracked, church. Your pot is cracked. And God wants you to let the light out of that crack or cracks to everyone you meet. He said, let it be evident to all, to all. You see, people that are impressed with you, listen to me. People that are impressed with you will still go to hell without Christ. That is a big truth. People who look at you, oh, how do they do that? Oh, they're so nice. They're so good. They could be as impressed as anything, but they're still going to hell. Which would you rather have? Somebody impressed with you? Oh, what a nice person they are. Or somebody impressed with God. If you're honest and you're here today and you've got that earthen jar, that jar of clay, you want both. You want both. You want people to be impressed with you and you want people to be impressed with the one you serve. And that's okay. But the Bible says God put this treasure, the Holy Spirit, that's the treasure in us, so that we could share it, show it, do it with those around us. That's what is strong in us, not your abilities, not your strength. He gave you those to just help shine a little bit more of what you're doing in the areas that you live. We're in a church that is filled with weak, weak people. Praise the Lord. We're in a church that, and you can come here a couple Sundays and go, yeah, it's a nice church, and these people seem like they got some things together, and they got smiles on their face, and they're okay, and they're helping people, and they got a good system going here. Yeah, that's nice. But all you're seeing is just the surface. If you're to pull all of our shirts up, you're going to see a lot of dirt. You're going to see a lot of filth. You're going to see a lot of brokenness. You're going to see a lot of things that are in our life that aren't right yet. You hear what I said? They aren't right yet. God's working on me today more than he did yesterday. And he's doing something in each one of us here today if we're willing to let him. Where does all this come together? Here's where it comes together as we close. The last truth. Strength through weakness starts at your faithfulness. I want you to sink that in for a second. If you're faithful with a little, if you're faithful with a little, that's where strength through weakness starts to come in into your life, and you start noticing God's light pushing out of you. You go, oh, where'd that come from? How did I say that? How did I respond like that? I should have been angry. I shouldn't have forgiven them. How did I do that? Through faithfulness, through your faithfulness, it comes out. Several scriptures here. Psalms 18:25. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. God's treasure comes out in you when you're faithful. When you're not faithful, what's the opposite of that? Doesn't come out. You look like a sourpuss. You act like a sourpuss. And everybody around you goes, I don't be around them. Well, I don't want to be around them. They got nothing. But when you're faithful, you show yourself faithful. You show yourself faithful. You see, there's great difficulty with faithfulness in the church. There's great difficulty with faithfulness the minute you stand up when this the last song is done today. Because you got to go out there and you got to live in a world that doesn't give a flip about anything that you're believing. You're living in a world that not only doesn't like what you got, they probably hate what you have, what you say you have, because they don't understand it. The Bible says in the last days, they will hate anyone who holds on to truth. They will hate anyone who holds on to truth. Faithfulness is about Galatians 6:9 says this. Let us not become weary. Whew. Let us not become weary in doing right. For the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Well, Jeff, when? When's my time? When am I going to reap a harvest? I've been doing it. When is my time? I don't know. But I know God does. God does. Do you think God would have put that verse in the Bible if he didn't know that you were going to get weary of doing the right thing? He put it there because he wants you to understand it and to read it and to grasp it and to say, oh, okay. So when you're ready to give up and say, I give up. How many times have you said that lately? I give up. Can't do nothing about Dad. I give up. Can't do nothing about me. I give up. Do not do weary in letting your weakness become evident to all. Do not get weary. Look what Matthew says this, 25:21. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. Now I'll give you more responsibilities. Why is there some people, you look around at them and they seem to be killing it in the faith. They seem to just be killing. They're just, I know they got hard times. I know they're going through tough times, but they just seem to, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm going to be with you. And you see their lives and they're getting rocked. You see that there's bad things in their life and they are way different than the rest of us because they have a faith that's unshakable and they are faithful with the small things and God is helping them as he moves into the bigger things of life. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Of course, that's talking about the end times when we go to meet Jesus. That's one of the things he's going to be saying at the gate. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Will he say that to you? I believe he will. I believe he will. The Bible is very, very clear about it, obeying the command that we base this church on. Deuteronomy 6:8. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. See, that's how it works, on your hearts. You have to meditate on it. Impress them on your kids. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. You talk about it all the time. It's who you are. It's what you do. God is who you are. You're all about him. As the band comes and we close, I want you to take a moment today. As we close this series of looking on, I love God with all these four things. God is near, and I want you today, I want to give you the opportunity to let him come near to you. The Lord is talking to some of you today because some of you have been far away. Some of you have just been out doing your own thing. Some of you have been just trying to do what you thought you could do, and God has come to you through his scripture today and said, hey, there's something different. Sister, something different, brother. Here's another way. And he's saying to some of you, just come home, come back, come back, come back to me. So I want to give you an opportunity today to refresh that commitment to love him with your all. Let's pray. Father,